All right, so we're going to jump into this passage today. Before we do that, I have a question for you guys. I want you to raise your hand if you would say, hey, I'm an athlete, or I'm athletic, or I was an athlete at one point in my life. Who would say, like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, we're calling you out. Yeah, sweet. How many of you are like, man, I wish I were more athletic? Like, yeah. So that was me in high school. So in high school, I was probably 100 pounds dripping wet. I had no muscle on me. Like, I was the nerd. The heaviest thing I carried around was like my backpack full of textbooks. But yeah. So I started running cross country when I was in high school. I really wanted to run track. I wanted to be a sprinter. And my coach was like, you should run cross country to get some practice and come do track. And so I was awful. My dad over the summer, he was like, okay, like, let's run. So he got on his bike and he would set his watch for like 5 minutes and he would have me run. So I couldn't like look at the time, you know? I'm just running. I'm like, are we done yet? Are we done yet? He's like, no. And we just keep going. And after 5 minutes, I was just dead. It was awful. But I kept with it. I had this vision, I had this goal, I want to sprint. And so I just ran and ran and ran, and I got better. And I had a friend, he had started a year before me, he was fast, and I could not beat him. I was like, man, I want to be like Nathan someday. And so I trained all year. I would train year round, because, yeah, I just wanted to. And then the next year, we ran, I was a junior, and I was like, man, I'm like just about as fast as him. Like, what happened? That was weird. And then our senior year, I was smoking him. Like, he couldn't keep up with me. Like, that's so weird. Like, what happened? But what happened was I trained year-round, and he trained just those 3 months. We would run, and he took 9 months off. And so you ask yourself, like, how does that relate to this passage, right? So today we're going to talk about, hey, what was Jesus' prayer life like? And then what are some applications we can take from what he taught us? And I'm going to tell you a bit more of my story, kind of unpack that. But I would argue that Jesus trained his prayer life. He saw it as training for something. And I think the disciples eventually saw that too, right? Cielo was pointing out this great thing, right? They got really curious. They asked him this question, like, teach us to pray. And I find it curious. Someone brought this to my attention a while back. Like, well, why did they ask him to pray? Like, they had already seen him cast out demons. They had seen him heal people. They had seen him calm a storm. Like, they could have asked him, hey, teach us those things. Those are crazy. Those are cool. But instead they asked him, like, teach us to pray. Which, in some ways, like, the way I used to think about prayer was, it's kind of boring. I'm going to sit there. I might fall asleep. Like, what's really happening? But that was the thing. They were like, we need that. But I believe that they made a connection after they'd been with Jesus long enough that, hey, actually his prayer life was important for some reason. Right? That actually his prayer life was his source of all those things, right? It's why he could calm the storm and do the miracles and all this. And we see that just two chapters earlier in Luke 9, Jesus is coming down from a mountain, and some of his disciples had tried to cast out this demon, and this guy was like, you guys can't do it. The demon's not leaving. And they had already done this kind of stuff. They had cast out demons before. But Jesus comes down and he's like, sure, I'll do it. And he just says, come out of him. And the demon leaves. The disciples are like, what just happened? How'd you do that? And he told them, well, this kind only comes out by prayer. And they're like, well, yeah, that's what we did. We prayed and nothing happened. But I believe Jesus was talking about, no, this kind comes out by a lifestyle of prayer, of training, right? You're not going to be able to go run 10 miles if you're just like, I just feel like becoming a runner today. I'm just going to go, right? It takes years of training to be able to do that. And when we look at Jesus' prayer life, I think it's amazing because, first of all, Jesus had to pray, which I think is kind of crazy. He's God. Why does he have to pray? But when you go read the Gospels, you see Jesus getting up early to pray. Before he calls his disciples, he stays up all night to pray. And at one point, the Bible says, Jesus went as usual to pray. How many of you wish like that was how your prayer life was described, as usual? Like, oh, you know, there they go again, as usual, just, man, getting in the place of prayer, right? They had seen him do it so much that that's how they described it, as usual. And that was his training, right? So we're going to dive in and unpack, like, what is Jesus teaching us here? I mean, the first thing we can see is, man, if Jesus needs to pray, I need to pray. That's what hit me, right? Like, if he needed it as his source, he needed that connection with the Father, man, how much more do I need that in my life? Before we dive into really unpacking the Lord's Prayer, as this is called, I want to just have you guys take this away. And if you get nothing else from this, I hope you get this, that there's no formula for prayer, right? Kind of me growing up, I would read this passage and I'm like, sweet, I have it memorized, right? I can say all those words. But I believe that wasn't Jesus' intention when he gave us this prayer. I don't think he was like, oh yeah, just rattle this off, you know, every once in a while. But prayer is about relationship, right? For example, if Brianna, my wife, and I are connecting, if it's just formulaic, right, our goal is, hey, to know one another, to be together, to spend time together. And so prayer, same way, is about relationship. And so what I love is it's not about all the nitty-gritty of what to say, but just like the disciples, we can call Jesus aside and say, Jesus, teach me to pray. I don't know how to pray either. This stuff doesn't happen for me. I don't know what to say when I get there, how to connect with you. And so I've been asking him, Jesus, teach me to pray. And he has. He's been showing me things. He's been training me, like my coach. Right? When I ran cross country, I had a coach. And that's so important. And Jesus, he wants to be your coach, your prayer coach, or your prayer personal trainer. So keep that in mind as we go through all this stuff. Ultimately, it's about, Jesus, teach me to pray. So we're going to start in verse 2 there, right? We talked about disciples in verse 1 asking Jesus, hey, teach us to pray. And then in verse 2, Jesus shows him. He says, this is how you should pray. And he starts with the word Father. And we're just going to stop there for a moment. So the very first word Jesus starts with is a relational word, Father. So prayer is relational. And I believe Jesus prayed because he loved the Father, right? He knew he needed it as his source, right? He needed his needs met. Right? He needed direction. He needed clarity, just like we do in our daily lives, right? Who needs that here? I do. Yeah. But I believe first and foremost, Jesus loved the Father, right? My kids don't spend time with me because I force them to, or thankfully, or because I tell them they should, but they love me. They love to be around me. And so what I found is a lot of people will try really hard to pray. And they'll say, oh, I just have to try harder. I just have to work at it. When in reality, if you fall in love with Jesus, you won't be able to help but pray. So the goal of prayer is to fall in love with Jesus, period. And then it evolves from there. But if you're in love, like how many of you have been that where you're in love and you're like, you can't stop thinking about the person. You don't have to admit it if you don't want to, but that was me, right? But when I met my wife, it was like, I'm in class and I'm like, no, I can't stop thinking about her. I just want to go spend time with her, right? And so that's the goal, is like Jesus loved the Father so much that he was like, I can't help but sneak away and be with him. But also relationships take work, right? So we're talking about training. 1 Timothy says, train yourself for godliness, right? So this is biblical, to train, to work hard. You know, our marriage takes work, right? We have to work at our communication. We have to work at spending time together with 5 kids. Like, that does not happen naturally. It doesn't happen by accident, right? And if we're not intentional, if we don't work at it, it's not going to be good. It's going to start to, you know, crumble a little bit. So we train, But we train with the purpose of love and being in love and staying in love and growing our love. So find out how you uniquely relate to him. It's different for everybody. So how do you and he connect? And then the second part of verse 2 says, may your name be kept holy. So here's the trap people can kind of fall into is like, oh yeah, I love Jesus. And he becomes this kind of teddy bear, Santa Claus, right? Oh, I just love him, right? But they don't have that reverence and awe for him, right? And so I believe Jesus is framing that for us of like, hey, you need that deep, loving relationship with the Father. And it's also from a place of reverence, respect, awe, wonder. Because our relationship with him is not a casual relationship, right? Like, Jesus is relational, but he's also God, right? And it's not about me. So when I come before him, Jared's told you guys this before, right? But Jared gets on his face. And I've borrowed that, I've stolen that from Jared, and I've started to get on my face before the Lord. And you get that sense of awe, like, oh, I'm bowing before a king. So I encourage you guys, try that in your prayer life. Just bow before him to remember, like, oh man, he's my king. So then Jesus gets into, in the end of verse 2, may your kingdom come soon. And I think this for me is like what I think of most when I think of prayer is like, hey, I'm praying for people that God's kingdom breaks out, that in their life, that, you know, good things happen to them, that they get free, all this stuff, right? But I love that Jesus doesn't start with that, right? He starts with relationship and reverence. And I believe it's only from that place of, hey, I'm in an intimate, loving relationship with my dad. And, like, I honor him, I revere him, he's holy, that I can truly pray his will and pray for his kingdom to come. Right? If I'm not in relationship with him, I don't love him, if I'm not in awe of him, I'm not going to effectively pray for earth to start looking like heaven, right? For people to get saved, for people to get healed. So it starts with that. But then know this, prayer changes things. James says the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. And so we can know that when we pray, things change. It may not always feel like that is the case. So what I've found to be effective for myself, because I've been in seasons where I'm like, man, I can't consistently pray, or I get to the place of prayer and I forget what I was going to pray for. I know I told somebody I was going to pray for them and I forgot. I stole this from Jared too. So steal it if you want. But getting organized. So I now use my sticky notes in my phone and I have them categorized. So I have daily prayers. So like I'll pray for my family every day and other things. And I just have a notification. It pops up in the morning and when I show up to pray, everything's there. And then I have some I do once a week, so different themes, praying for our nation, things like that. But I found that to be really effective that when I tell someone, hey, I'm going to pray for you, I just plug it right in right there, and it's going to pop up. And so I'm able to really consistently pray for people. So structure, finding a way to structure it, I found is super helpful. So then Jesus goes on in verse 3, he says, give us each day the food that we need, or our daily bread, as some say. And I love this for two reasons. One is I have needs. I get hungry, right? Anybody else? But I don't start with my needs in that way. I've come to this place where I realize my greatest need is just Jesus. Right? It says he's the bread of life, right? So when I'm asking for bread, of course I want finances, I want that job, I want, you know, success in school and all the things I need. But every morning I ask him, Jesus, I want you. I want your presence. I want your guidance. And then I go on and I say, hey, meet all my needs. I typically don't spend a lot of time on this. I just tell him, provide for every need. Like, you know him. And we have a beautiful promise in Matthew 6:33. Jesus says, seek first my kingdom, my righteousness, and all these things, everything you need is going to be added. So I try and lean into that and just say, hey, I trust you, be my provider. So, and we have this section, verse 4, says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We talked about this a lot in our little DBS, like this is challenging, right? To really forgive people. But I'll say in my experience of walking alongside people and even in my own life is these two things, repenting of sin and then forgiving people who I felt hurt by, will get you free of 80% of spiritual stuff in your life. So anything that's weighing you down, anything mentally in that mental battle, when you get to the place of, for me, it's every day getting with him and saying, hey, what do I need to repent of? And who do I need to forgive? And just getting that cleared out, you're going to stay free. And that's what Jesus wants for you. That's why he says, hey, pray this way. Because he wants you to be free. He cares about you. So when you do this, my tip is just ask the Holy Spirit. Say, hey, who is it today that I need to forgive? Is there anything today I need to repent of? And you'll get to the point eventually where there's nothing on some days. And that's a beautiful place. But it'll be work. But don't get introspective, right? Some people go so deep into, oh no, I'm so awful and I did this. And oh, just ask the Holy Spirit, let him show you, and then just go, yeah, okay, help me forgive this person and walk that out. And then the last part of this prayer, don't let us yield to temptation. Some say, and deliver us from evil, right? So this is both us growing to be more like Jesus. We call it sanctification, becoming more righteous. And then also protection. So what I would say is I ask Jesus every morning now, hey, help me pass every test. Help me overcome every temptation, just across the board, right? And then I've been praying the blood of Jesus over me and over my family. And what I found is, and the stories I've heard, that just really creates a hedge of protection around you and around the people, you know, in your family. And it keeps the enemy from really influencing or touching them at all. So it's powerful. So we're going to transition now. I'm going to talk a bit about my story, how I grew in prayer. And then I'm going to have a little application for you guys of something to do at the end. But I would recommend what I found in my story is put your prayer time on the calendar or else it's not going to happen, right? Whoever has been here like, oh yeah, I'll pray tonight or I'll pray when I get around to it, or I'll pray when I have some free time. Like I'm so guilty of that for so long. And I realized, man, like that Matthew 6 says, seek first my kingdom and all these things will be added to you. I was like, man, I haven't been seeking first the kingdom. I've been seeking last the kingdom. I was so convicted, right? So that he's gotten me to the place, and this has been a long journey for me, right? But he's gotten me to the place where it's, hey, I wake up and I have my time every day. No matter what, that's the first thing I do because I know it's quiet, my kids are asleep, and nothing's going to get in the way, and then I'll go about my day. But it was a process for me to say, hey, I'm actually going to make that a priority, the first priority in my life. But in my story, in high school, I started really wanting to pray. So I grew up going to church. It was a little bit just kind of rules, right? Everyone would say, hey, you should pray. You should read your Bible. I was like, yeah, I know, but it's really hard. So in high school, I was like, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for 5 minutes straight. And I tried and I stared at the clock. I was like, this is awful. Nothing's happening. This is awful. I hate this. But I just stayed consistent with it. And then when I went to college, I made that resolve. I was like, you know, I'm going to wake up early before classes. I'm going to spend an hour with the Lord. And I'm going to journal. I'm going to worship. I'm going to read the Bible. And that was really hard. So just like kind of my running training, right? It's like, it's hard. If any of you have run or worked out for consistently pushed yourself, it's hard. And it was the same spiritually. I was like, man, I'm here, but I feel like I'm hitting a wall. I feel like it feels dry. I'm not hearing anything from the Lord. I don't feel any warm fuzzies or whatever I'm supposed to feel. But I just didn't stop showing up. I just kept showing up. And I found over time, the more I did it, the more I began to enjoy it little by little. Kind of like with running. You know the runner's high? Have you guys heard of that or experienced that? Where people will run and you're like, you're crazy. Like, what do you mean it feels good to run? Like, that's nonsense. It's the same with this, right? Of like, you push past this zone of this is painful, it's awful, nothing's happening. And all of a sudden it's like, oh man, like, I need this. This is my time every day where I get filled so I can actually do my life. And then in this season recently, he's encouraged me through a friend. He said, push the boundaries of your prayer life. Push the boundaries, right? So if you're training for something, you can decide, hey, I'm good. I'm good where I'm at, right? At being able to run a mile or whatever. Or you can keep pushing. So God told me, push the boundaries. And I take sacrifice. Let me tell you, like, for me, the Lord convicted me. He's like, sleep was an idol. So I had to commit, hey, I'm going to start waking up even earlier. And that meant I had to cut out stuff in my evenings that I did for me. You know, I had to start really getting to bed earlier. I had to wake up and I was like, I don't feel good, right? Because it's earlier than I want to be awake. But I'll tell you that sacrifice is worth it. I've, in this season, come out of my place of prayer feeling like rock solid. Feeling like, man, nothing can touch me. Nothing can come against me. And so these days for me, and I say this just to kind of inspire you further in your prayer life, the Lord's taken me to where I'm 2 hours every morning with him. And so let me tell you, I have a full-time job. I have 5 kids. I have a wife. I'm, you know, training and church planting, all that stuff. I don't have spare time, right? But I've made a commitment to the place of prayer to say, this is my one thing. This is the one thing I will not miss. If I miss something else, if I get to work late, if I whatever, I'm not going to miss my time with the Lord. And he's paid me back. He will make it more than worth it for you. So I'll just say this, and then we're going to do our application. But I found clarity to be so helpful for me in coming to the place of prayer. For a long time, my alarm would go off in the morning, and I'd be like, do I get up or not to pray? And I'd be like, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there, so I'm just going to go back to bed. And so our application in a minute is going to help you develop some of that clarity of, hey, when I show up, here's what I'm doing. And same thing with running cross country for me. Like, I had a coach, I just showed up, and my coach was like, here's what you're doing today. And I didn't have to think like, oh, what am I doing? I'm not sure. So I think that'll help you guys as you develop that out. But we're going to apply this. I'm just going to have you raise your hand, think for a second. If you are willing to push the boundaries of your prayer life, keeping in mind, it's personalized to you, right? You might be me to where you're like, man, 5 minutes sounds hard. That's going to be me. I'm going to try 5 minutes. Or you might be like, hey, I've been doing an hour, but he's pushing me to do more or be more consistent or whatever it is. He's going to personalize it to you. But raise your hand if you are committed. Hey, yes, you know what? I'm going to decide in this season, I'm going to push the boundaries of my prayer life and partner with the Holy Spirit into what he has for me. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Cool. So I think of this as making Jesus your prayer, like we've said, your prayer coach or your prayer personal trainer. So what we're going to do, we're going to spend a couple minutes doing this. But Jen, if you got him, she's going to hand out a little handout to you. And what it is it's a prayer training plan. So just like you would create a workout plan, you're going to create a prayer training plan. And the way I've put it, you can customize this however you want, but I've found it really helpful when I show up to start in worship. That gets me in his presence, focused on him. To read the word a little bit. That helps me listen to him before I speak. And then I pray. It might be different for you. So you can structure this however you want. But there's an example at the bottom of a way you might fill this out and structure it. Personalize it. Thanks. Do this with the Holy Spirit. And I'll say with all of this, keep in mind, he is the prize, right? The goal is not to do more. The goal is not to feel like a good Christian because I checked off a box, right? The goal is to meet with him and to fall in love. So find the things with him. Ask him, hey, what's going to help me fall more in love with you as we spend time together, right? As we go on a date together. So I'm going to give you guys a couple minutes just to sit with the Holy Spirit, do a little bit of writing, and then we'll wrap.